Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Asian Pacific Islander Caucus, APHA's first oral session. Thanks for coming here really bright and early. We have an exciting panel today of presentations, and the presentations cover a diverse and heterogeneous group of populations among the Asian Pacific Islander diaspora. We're going to be hearing from adaptations and translations of the diabetes prevention program today. The diabetes prevention program is the randomized control trial, national randomized control trial that showed a 58% reduction in diabetes incidence between the experimental and control arms. And we're going to see variations of that program and translations of that program today. Exciting adaptations. And we'll begin with Dr. Myeong Kim is not here to speak today, but on her behalf, we're going to begin with Tam Nguyen. She's speaking on behalf of Myeong Kim. Tam Nguyen is an assistant professor at the Boston College School of Nursing. She completed her MSN, MPH, and PhD at Johns Hopkins under Myeong Kim. Her research is focused on testing and translating diabetes and hypertension management programs for minority populations, and she will be presenting on health literacy and self-care behaviors in people with limited English skills, a study of Korean Americans with high blood pressure.
All right, thank you and welcome. I'm so excited to open the first, I guess, presentation for the Asian American Caucus. And again, Myeong Kim is not here, and so I send greetings from her, and I will try to do my best to, you know, present the essence of the work that we did and convey it in the most succinct way as possible. Also, if you have additional questions at the end of this presentation that I am not able to clearly answer, I'd be more than happy to send her contact information to you so that we can so that you guys can all correspond with her. So, as you know, we're not actually, we have not done much with the DPP project, which I'm really excited to hear about. Our project actually just looks at health literacy among Korean Americans with high blood pressure. So I have no disclosures to present. A lot of the work that we do really is driven by the fact that issues of language and literacy are problematic for our community, and little is really known about the magnitude or impact of health literacy on chronic disease management among people with limited health with limited English skills. So, what we do know is that ethnic minorities have a higher percentage of below basic health literacy than whites, and this is true across all race ethnic groups. And even though in the Asian Pacific Islander group it's 13% as compared to 9% in whites, there's a lot of heterogeneity in that group, which we'll talk about in just a bit. So this slide actually points to a lot of that heterogeneity. And this slide, as well as the previous slide, comes from the National Assessment of Adult Literacy in the U.S. in 2003. And what it shows is adults who learn English at a later age have lower literacy scores than those who learn English at an earlier age. And this has directly speaks to the fact, or the tremendous problem of limited health literacy among first-generation immigrants who come here as adults or seniors. And here, the main message is that health literacy is relevant to really all aspects of health promotion and quality of life, including information seeking, decision making, action, self-efficacy, health outcomes, as well as productivity. And while these statements are really true for all individuals, the impact of limited health literacy on an immigrant's life really is probably much stronger than from anyone from other mainstream communities. And this may be due to the fact that immigrants are often surrounded by people with the same language barriers and are less likely to be, and therefore are less likely to benefit from existing social resources, even research projects. All right, and so this linguistic isolation coupled with the paucity of research on these immigrant populations will likely result in slower dissemination and translation of effective health interventions for these groups. And so this is really why we're so passionate about the work that we do. And so the purpose of really this talk or this what we're presenting is to examine the association of high blood pressure related specific health literacy on factors related to self-care skills, including blood pressure knowledge, healthcare utilization, and BP outcomes in first generation Korean Americans with high blood pressure. And really, we're just going to, what we did was we just looked at baseline data from an ongoing health literacy-focused self-care behavioral education intervention program for Korean Americans with high blood pressure. And to be eligible for this community-based prospective clinical control trial, participants had to be 60 years or older, have systolic blood pressure of greater than or equal to 140 millimeters of mercury or a diastolic blood pressure of 90 on two separate occasions, or be on antihypertensive medication, and they had to self-identify as being Korean American. So when we looked at the baseline characteristics, largely or the mean age of the participants in our study was about 70 years old. They had about 11 years of education, and they were living in the U.S. for about 24 years. And by and large, because they were seniors, a lot of them did have health insurance, so 80% of our sample had insurance. And when we looked at health literacy scores, according to some of the demographic characteristics, men generally tended to have slightly higher health literacy, perhaps because in the Korean community, the men were a bit more educated than the women that we sampled. With regard to age, those who are older, so for example, those who are greater than or equal to 80 years old had lower overall health literacy than those who were younger, and this is really consistent with the literature. And again, those who had more education had higher health literacy as compared to those with less. And overall, though, the literacy score range, it could have ranged from 0 to 43, but the mean score was 16.9, which pretty much tells us that, by and large, a lot of these folks had limited health literacy. We looked at bivariate relationships between health literacy and demographic characteristics. The health literacy tool that we use actually is called the High Blood Pressure Health Literacy Scale, which has two domains. One is print and one is functional. And sort of the take-home point really here is that, you know, the findings are really consistent across. But if you look at total health literacy scores, gender made a difference in both educational level and years in the U.S., with males having generally higher health literacy, higher education, and higher use of 4 years of being in the U.S. associated with higher literacy. Again, when we looked at bivariate relationships between health literacy and self-care variables, those who had higher health literacy were less depressed. They had more high blood pressure related knowledge. They were more satisfied with their care, and then they reported better quality of life sort of symptoms. And then when we looked at bivariate relationships, again, between health literacy and variables associated with healthcare utilization, those with higher health literacy had more, this number, and it's kind of confusing, it says no having access, so it's number of people having access to insurance. And then, so all those no's are really numbers. So essentially, those with higher health literacy had more access, had more health insurance, had access to a primary care provider, were less likely to delay their treatment, and they had slightly more doctor's visits, so they were going to, to regular doctor's appointments a little bit more often than those who had less health literacy. We looked at multivariate model of health literacy on theoretically selected variables. It was shown that gender, years of education, years in the U.S., as well as self-efficacy and knowledge were significantly associated with high blood pressure. And so, in summary, really, among the sample that we collected, largely they were female, and the mean age was 70.9 years. In the multivariate regression, it showed that health literacy was significantly and positively associated with five predictors, particularly gender, years of education, years in the U.S., and self-efficacy, as well as high blood pressure knowledge. However, this high blood pressure-related health literacy was not independently associated with blood pressure or blood pressure control, which we would have thought that it would be. And part of, we've actually conducted the whole clinical trial, and we've actually looked at some of these outcomes. And what we think really is just that what really makes a difference in regard to, in this may be different for different disease processes. So, for example, I'll give an example between high blood pressure and diabetes. With high blood pressure, there are definitely different components to managing high blood pressure, but medication adherence and being on medication is so important and has such a big impact on the control of high blood pressure that really that's really what drives control. Medication drives control rather than health literacy, we think. But when we looked at I would say indirect relationships, health literacy was associated with insurance status. Insurance status was associated with whether somebody was on medication and then whether somebody was adherent to their medication, and that had impact on outcomes. And so what we're trying to do now is look at indirect relationship between health literacy and the final outcome. And so that's what happened. And, in our intervention, even though health literacy was not associated with high blood pressure, the intervention at baseline as compared to 6 months and 18 months out, participants' health literacy scores did increase substantially in the intervention group as compared to the control group. And so so we think that it is important to make sure that health literacy is an essential component of self-care management, and the need to measure it and integrate it into disease-specific health literacy programs is really needed, particularly for vulnerable populations. I think the other thing interesting that is not presented here that I think might be worthwhile to convey is there are so many health literacy measures out there. The one that we use really was built on top of the Realm as well as the TOEFL, but yet when we did basic analysis of the tool in using traditional classical measurement theory, the Kronbach alpha was really high. It was like 0.98, and it was very reliable, valid. It was associated with proximal outcomes and things like that. But when we use another measurement theory called IRT, I don't know how familiar you guys are with that at all, but with IRT, you're able to see with all these items where along the traits, so if this is low health literacy and this is high health literacy, where along this trait continuum these items are really assessing, and they all cluster in the middle right here, so it was really hard to see change scores and really, in order to detect small changes in blood pressure, I think it was also very difficult. So the idea that, health literacy instruments should have items that, assess different ranges of this health literacy continuum so that you can detect changes a bit better. So I think that was another thing that we, as we were thinking about some of the results and some of the things we were looking at, why are we seeing this, despite the fact that we know in the Korean-American as well as Vietnamese-American, probably a lot of other Asian-American communities, a lot of people say that, literacy is a big problem and health literacy is a big problem. So I think that's all I have for you today. Be more than happy to take questions.